Brother's going to put the first slide up there, and please don't look at this slide as being a negative tonight. The disease of a hard heart. Now, I certainly hope this would not be the case with many of you during your life, but possibly some of us are going to go to the doctors and be told that we have something wrong with our heart. Of course, that will sadden us because we would prefer not to have something wrong with our heart. Our heart is a very, very important part of our body. And to find out we have something wrong with our heart is rather a shock. But may I say, it's better to know there's something wrong with your heart until it's too late to know that you've got something wrong with your heart. So after getting over the initial shock that when the doctor says that you've got a blockage in your heart and the doctor begins to speak to us about what they can do to help us, then we get glad. You may not be looking forward to the surgery, but you're certainly looking forward to feeling good again and being reassured that death is not on the doorstep. Amen? And so there is a sense where the uneasiness is good news, because the uneasiness brings the solution to the problem. Tonight, I'm going to preach about the heart. And preaching about the heart is essential. I'm going to preach about the heart from my heart, because I'm going to touch on some things that will certainly challenge you tonight. Lifeless objects, such as a piece of stone or maybe a bit of furniture in your house, generally will remain at the temperature of the environment that's around it. That lifeless object doesn't produce any heat itself or any cold, and so it just adjusts up and down according to the temperature of the room. It has no feeling, so it doesn't sense whether things are hot or cold. Humans, however, they generate heat to maintain their temperature. To us, it's uncomfortable when it's either too cold or too hot. And so we naturally, when we're cold, we then try to warm ourselves. And I see some of you well engaged in that here tonight with hands in your pockets, jackets on and everything like that to try and stop any loss of body temperature here in this building here tonight. We are reminded that it's cold because of the discomfort. There's a dis-ease about being cold. Very often when we lay in bed at night and we concentrate, we can feel our heart beating. If you think about it right now, you probably won't be able to feel your heart beating because you're not laying still. But I think most of us at some time or other have laid in bed and felt our heart beating. Sometimes we can even hear our heart beating in the quiet of the night. It's good to be in tune with our body. However, we don't want to become oversensitive about those sort of things. Usually people only detect maybe misbeats of their heart, which is only very natural. They detect that when they're laying quiet in bed. You know, their heart misses a beat and they think, oh! But evidently that's quite natural with most people to occasionally lose a beat of their heart. But it is also, as we'll see up there on the overhead, also good to be in tune with the spiritual condition of our heart. It's good to be in tune with the spiritual condition of our heart. And whenever we come into God's house, whenever we come into his presence to pray, then this makes us conscious of not only God, but of the state of our heart. We realize that we are coming to meet before a mighty and a holy God who said, "There is none holy beside the Lord." I want to assure you tonight that it's not wrong to be at dis-ease with our hearts. It's not wrong, because that's about as good as having a pain which sends you to the doctor so that you can get well. In fact, David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And Paul said, "My righteousness is as filthy rags." Now, he didn't say that because he felt that he had fallen out of the grace of God. It was just a statement that he felt that he could certainly be doing better. He could be spiritually more healthy. And you see, there's a hunger inside us that wants us, that we know that we need to really be more and more and more and more in tune with God. There's no finish to this. It's something we strive at for the whole of our life, because if there was a line and we ever reached that mark, then we'd say, "I don't have to do anything else." Sure enough, there's the grace of God. But the disease of our heart is healthy, which helps us to realize that we continually need the grace of God, and that we just can't do it alone. And so we read in Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." There it is. "Search me, O God." And when we begin to search, then we sense this dis-ease, which I want to stress again, is not wrong. It's good. Because a person who doesn't sense this dis-ease has become self-righteous, and they basically really desperately need help then. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, we read, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I, the Lord, search the heart." So when we get this disease, this dis-ease in our hearts, that's the prompting of God. How many of us have come to church and we've heard the preaching of God's word? Maybe we don't go to the altar, but it leaves us feeling wanting. It leaves us feeling that we need to tidy things up a bit, get some things right, get closer to God. Well, that's good. After all, that's why we come to church. And when you pray, I don't know about you, I cannot pray without thinking about the grace of God, because I know very well that I'm just not matching up as much as I probably could, which makes me work harder to please God. You understand? Are you human like me? Yeah? There's only one time when we won't be at dis-ease with our hearts, and that's when we live and reign with God in eternity. And so, it is good to be at dis-ease with our heart when it becomes cold and hard. And let me say that when our heart is subjected to the environment around us, there is a natural thing, this almost natural, that it's going to cool down to the environment around us. But we have the life of the Holy Spirit in us that wants to generate the heat, that wants to generate the life and maintain the temperature or maintain the heat in our body. More than likely, every one of us have known someone who has walked very close to God. But yet later, we notice that they've become embittered, maybe over someone or something, and we find it difficult to reconcile the picture of what they were like before this ever happened. In other words, how could they change from being so much on fire for God to having such a hard heart? Well, what causes somebody to have a hard heart? You know, that's a mystery in itself, isn't it? It's even a greater mystery to me. Why somebody would want to keep a cold heart, particularly if you're a child of God. Because when we become a child of God, the Spirit of God fills us and continually ministers to us and tells us what our position is. Jesus speaks to us. The change of a hard heart to a tender heart, there's no picture that's more beautiful than when somebody is saved. Just think of it when you were saved. Think of how your heart was before you were saved. You couldn't care less about God. You couldn't care less about church. You couldn't care less about His Word. The only person in the world that you really cared about was yourself and what you could get and what you were going to do in life. When I was in New Zealand, I heard the sad story of a man who had been brought up in a Christian home and lived for God. And then when he got into his early 20s, he said to his mum and dad, "You know, there's not any God, but there's other things in this world, so I think I might enjoy some of the other things for a while." And now that has impacted upon his wife, upon his children, and it's just compounded into terrible things, because now he is into drugs, he's full of debt, his marriage is falling apart, his children have become rebellious, all because he just thought, well, maybe I don't need to deal with this hard heart of mine. Maybe there's something else out there I'm missing out on. Never ever get to that place. Keeping a tender heart after your initial experience with God is essential. And that's what my message is about tonight. We're not only saved, friends. Let's realize we are being saved. We are not only saved, we are being saved. And the book of Philippians tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Three times in the book of Hebrews, and I ask you to turn to the scripture with me, in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8, we're going to begin to read. And this is certainly a follow-on, not intentional, but it's a follow-on from what Brother Kent ministered this morning. Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 8. Verse 7 talks about hearing the voice of God. Verse 8 says, "Harden not your hearts." Everybody say it. Harden not your hearts. Say it together. Okay, and it gives an example. As in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And then if you go down to 15, you'll read it again. while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. The same is written in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 17. Of course, the heart that we're speaking about is not a medical heart. Okay? Because this heart in our body, if Jesus doesn't return, even you young fellas here, this heart one day when you get old is going to stop. And let's hope that the real heart within us is strong enough to carry us over into eternity. Because we're not talking about the heart that we talk about if you're becoming a doctor and go to medical school. That's not the heart that this scripture is talking about. All right? You can have a very bad physical heart and still be close to God. So, what is this heart of a man? What really is this heart? Because joy can fill our heart. The same person can feel overwhelmed with sorrow in the heart. A heart can grow bitter. A heart can grow peaceful. The heart can know terrifying fear, and the heart can find courage. And so the heart is not something physical that the Bible's talking about. The heart ponders. In other words, we read in the Bible that our heart thinks, it perceives, it believes, it knows, it imagines, and it decides. And we must decide in our heart the way we're going to proceed through the rest of our life. Now, you young people, I'll stop here and just say, I was going to say this, but your life is ahead of you. You can have a happy life. You want to have a happy life? Alpha, you want to have a happy life? Yeah. What about you, Ben? You want to have a happy life? Yeah. Anybody here want to have a sad life? Anybody here want to have a tragic life? I don't think so. We all want to have a happy life. But with you young people, don't spoil the foundation of a happy life. Don't mess up. Be happy with what Jesus has given you. And don't look anywhere else for your happiness, because this world is deceived. There's a lot of things out there in the world. I read an article just recently. Young people probably wouldn't know it because you haven't been alive long enough to realize that this world is really on the way down in many, many ways. Would you agree with that, Brother Rahl? Yeah, you've been around long enough. Would you agree with that, Brother Turner? Yeah. The world's on the way down. Things are really going wrong. And people are hopping on that ride. It's like the Big Dipper ride. Woo! Let's have an exciting time and get on the Big Dipper. And down and down and down it goes. But eventually, people think, what are we doing? We've messed up our life. What are we doing? Where's my happiness? You know, and we think, you know what it's like when you first get on the Big Dipper? That first part of the ride when you come off the top of the hill and you start, woo! But after that, it dies away. And that's what people find. They try drugs. They try all sorts of things. They try breaking the law. They try getting in fast cars and doing crazy things and endangering other people's lives, all for a thrill, only to find that eventually it does not satisfy them. So if you're on the Big Dipper ride, you can go so far and become so fast that you can't get off. Well, I won't tell you who was on the with me, but I was on a big ride. One of those things that goes around like this up and it goes faster and faster and it spins and all the rest of it. And I was on the ride and I must admit it was not terribly comfortable. But somebody right near me was screaming, "Stop it! Stop! Stop!" But nobody was listening. Because when you're on that ride, everybody else is on the ride with you. They were horrified. Some of you might have seen that little YouTube video, that little girl that was on that ride. Who put up your hand if you've seen it just recently? It's really moving. This ride starts off, and she's probably only about 10 years old. Is that right? About 10 years old, something like that. And she gets horrified by the ride. And all of a sudden, she's saying, "Stop! Stop!" And then she starts saying, "Mummy, I love you! Mummy, I love you!" And then she starts, I think, saying, "God, forgive me! Forgive me!" Because the more she went on the ride, the more terrified she got. But let me tell you, young people, you think of a Big Dipper ride in life and the thrills, it's pretty hard to get off. It's pretty hard to straight. You may be able to get off, but you're going to feel the injury of many of the things that you've done throughout your life. You're happy now? Then be happy in Jesus. Be happy in Jesus. I promise you, right now, you're happier than you will ever be. Certainly, stay on Jesus' train. If you're over the age of 30, shout amen. 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 Because many of those people have already made some mistakes like me. We'd like to go back and erase it. Jesus has forgotten our sin. The trouble is we can't forget the things that we did. Maybe the money we wasted or the time we wasted. Whatever the case may be. Okay, back to my notes again. So the heart of a man is simply the man himself. The heart of a man is the real man. It's the real me. The person behind the persona. The character behind the charisma. The face behind the facade. The man behind the mask. The reality under the reputation. And the real value behind the projected validation. They're big words for some of you. But what it really means is we're talking about the real us. That's the man. That's the heart. So, how does the heart grow cold? The spiritual heart. Well, the answer is in the Bible. And because you are God's children, because you gave your life to Jesus, you were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, Jesus speaks to you. We should never despise feeling uneasy about our spiritual life, because that is prompting us to get right. Okay? You understand that? This is not a condemning message tonight. It's the dis-ease of a hard heart. And nobody wants a hard heart, so that dis-ease causes us to want to get better. And that's great. Amen. Who's here tonight in church because they want to be better? Yeah? Okay. I guarantee that's the case. Nobody would want to come out on a cold night like tonight unless you really had a desire. He's speaking to you. And he said, "My sheep hear my voice." A tender heart is one who listens and wants to change. The hard heart can get to a point where we hear, but we refuse to change. You understand? you make a mistake, maybe you commit a sin. The hard heart refuses to repent. The soft heart repents and asks God to forgive for forgiveness. That's how you know that you're heaven going, because you keep coming back to Jesus. You keep coming back to him and asking for forgiveness. You want to love him. You don't want to walk away from him. You still want to love him and serve him, because we know his mercy. The devil will say, no, no, you made a mistake. You're finished. No hope for you. That's condemnation. Conviction is when God speaks into our heart and warns us of where we're at. When the temple was dedicated by Solomon, Solomon spoke, "Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day." A perfect heart is one who is an obedient heart. To delay obedience is disobedience. While we delay obedience, that is simply disobedience. Mum says, clean up your bedroom. Now. You say, later. Is that obedience? No, she said now. So that is disobedience. When do you become obedient? The moment that you do it. And until you become obedient, you are disobedient. You got the picture? It's pretty simple, isn't it? And of course, everybody's been told to clean up their bedroom, haven't they? Even I have. Whosoever strives to withdraw from obedience withdraws from grace. That's a statement by a man called Kempis. Remember the Shunammite woman in the Bible, in the Book of Solomon? There was a knock at the door and she answered, "I sleep, but my heart is awake. I sleep, but my heart is awake." You may be physically weary, but be certain that your heart is tuned into God. You may be tired. You may be troubled, but keep your heart tuned into God. Don't be afraid of the dis-ease that God may bring to your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. While going through a storm, listen to the still small voice. The God, even Jesus, who was asleep in the bow of the boat, he was still the master of the storm. Sometimes God's delays are God's delights. Try my reins. I read that a minute ago. Try my reins. Now, the horse has reins. Is that right, Sarah? Horse has reins. You put the bit in the horse's mouth and then you use the reins to steer the horse. Okay? Well, God has reins, as it were, to steer us. He has his word and he speaks to us. But he tries our reins sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't pull one way or the other. He just lets the reins go loose to see what we will do, to see if we will be faithful. Other times he pulls, when we want to go this way, he pulls on the rein and turns us this way. He's trying our reins to see if we'll be obedient unto him. And sometimes when we want something, we can't feel the reins directing us. There's a delay from God. Oh God, I want to know, should I marry this woman? Or should I marry this guy? Well, I've waited 1 week and you haven't answered, God, so obviously it's up to me. 1 week? You only waited 1 week? Well, God's delays are God's delights. God delights in the fact that sometimes we just have to wait on Him. And besides, if you're going to get married, guys, you may as well get used to waiting. When your wife says, I'll be there in a minute, plan for 15. When she says, I'm ready to go, are you ready? Make sure you're ready. God's delays are God's delights. Sometimes he just wants us to wait on him. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up as eagles. God's delays are God's delights. God hasn't forgotten you when you ask or when you want to hear an answer or you want help with something. He's not forgotten you. He's just trying your reins to see how faithful you'll be. He's faithful. He loves you. He can hear your groanings. He can feel your pain. He knows exactly where you're at. He will never leave us or forsake us. Blind Bartimaeus, even though he was walking in the dark, he kept listening. He was listening, and when he heard the master's voice, he cried out, God, have mercy upon me. Come and heal me. He got his miracle. How many years did he walk in darkness? God wants a tender-hearted, pliable, obedient child. So when do we harden our hearts? It's not age that hardens our hearts. But let me warn you older folk. Familiarity can breed contempt. You can just become so familiar with rolling up for church, maybe getting down to pray, maybe just even picking up your Bible and reading it. I've been doing this for 40 years, we say. Well, so much should be like we're just doing it for the first time. It's not just living. Hard heart doesn't happen just because we live. Hard hearts don't happen because of the fluctuations or the ebbs and tides of life. No, it's none of these. Hard hearts happen when we don't attend to our heart. There was a comic strip that once stated, we have met the enemy and they are us. We're our own worst enemy if we don't listen to our hearts. We're the ones who allow our hearts to grow hard. Watch out. Watch out that we are not like the children of Israel in the wilderness, who even though God led them out miraculously out of Egypt, he led them down, the waters parted, and they went down through the waters and came out the other side and turned around and watched those waters drown their enemies. And then as they walked through the wilderness, God fed them with angel food that came out of heaven. But then when they came to the promised land, what did they do? They would not enter in. So for 40 years, they wandered around in the wilderness. 40 years. And that's when they tempted God. That's when they provoked him. And they did not enter in. You see, our hearts grow hard when we forget God's goodness. So it's good to come to the house of God and praise Him. It's good to talk to other people and tell God about God's goodness toward us. You see, the devil will always paint a drab grey colour over every blessing that we ever have. And if you get blessed, you're the one who's got to keep it alive. Keep it painted. Keep it colourful. Realise that God's goodness has been granted to you. And a person who takes the goodness of God for granted has a heart like granite. Our hearts grow hard when we compare ourselves with others. Why can't I be like them? Why haven't I got what they've got? So our heart begins to grow hard. The children of Israel, physically, after they went through all those divine and miraculous experiences, came out the other side and said, "Oh, if only we were back in Egypt eating the garlics and the onions." Don't ask me what's about the garlic and the onions. You don't seem to have any friends when you eat garlic and onions. But they lusted after the leeks, the garlics and the onions of Egypt. They said, "We'd rather be back there." Brother Kent spoke about it this morning. "Why did you bring us out? We would rather be back there." You really think you'd like to be back there? You better think about it. Because back there, they were tramping the clay to make the bricks and they felt the lash upon the back and they were not free. They were slaves. But yet they said, "Oh, we'd rather be back there than be here." That is a hard heart speaking. And that's what happens, young people, when you allow your heart to grow hard. All of a sudden, the things that you came out of, or maybe the things that you've never ever had that are bad, you'll have the yearning to go and try them out. I was going to say this, but really, just trying to help you, young people, maybe older ones. Why would you ever want to try drugs? Why? This is a mystery to me, why people would want to try illicit drugs. The only reason, I'd say, is you want to be like everybody else. Well, everybody's out of their mind. The government will tell you, doctors will tell you, the TV's saying it. Don't take drugs, you're crazy if you do. Oh, but I've got to give it a go. Yeah. Well, you are crazy even if you say you want to have it, give it a go. Everybody else is lining up with their shoes off and their foot out and somebody's got a hammer going and belting everybody on the big toe and you say, "Well, I should try that out too." I'd say, "You're crazy. I've never been belted on the big toe with a hammer. I've hit myself on the finger and that was enough. And I didn't ask for it. It was an accident." But why people would want to take drugs? Think about it. Well, this is not an anti-drug campaign tonight. This is just telling you to keep your hearts right with God. Drugs, cigarettes, alcohol, ice, marijuana, we go on. It's all drugs. They're all out there. It's no secret about the dangerous drugs. No secret. But when your friends start lining up to take the drugs, this is when you say, "I'm out of here, friends. I'm not in this. I'm not even going to watch you take it." So don't compare yourselves with others. There was a couple of men in the Bible who had hard hearts. Nabal was one of them. He hardened his heart against helping David. The Bible says his heart died within him and he became a stone. Then there was Achan. They were going to overrun Jericho. And God spoke and says, "Don't take anything out of that city. And Achan, he got a wedge of gold. He got a Babylonian garment. He took it back and dug a hole in his tent and ended up getting stoned for it. And I don't mean he drank too much. I simply mean that he was sentenced to death and all of his family because of his sin. You say, all of his family? That's terrible. Well, let me tell you, if you think that's terrible, then you young people just think that when you commit a sin, think about whether it's going to compound upon the effects upon your wife and your family and your children and their children after you. It's a known fact that very often children follow the habits of their mother and father. And God has been good to you. You're here tonight, regardless of whether you had godly parents or not. You're here tonight because you've heard the voice of God. You need to listen to the quiet, soft voice of God. Being in church, reading your Bible, praying is a big part in this. Don't miss out on church. Be there, because who knows what's going to be said, and who knows that when you're in the house of God, something will soften your heart and you will correct your ways. The cure of a hard heart is to obey God. Forgive us of our selfish ways, Lord. Forgive us for our ungrateful spirit. Forgive us, Lord, of our envious eyes. Forgive us for our stiff necks. So, how can we soften this hard heart? Be with Jesus. Walk with him. Do you think walking with Jesus, is that easy? No, it's not easy. Because someday or other you're going to have to walk up that mountain to the cross with him. And that's the secret of a soft heart, is having a crucified life. Not my will, but thine be done. Ben, are we going to miss out? No, you won't miss out on anything. Because what God has for it, he's our creator. What God has for us is the best. Get this in your mind. What the world is doing, just look at their end. Don't look at where they are right now. Just look at their end. And there's enough people been through this process where you can see their end. They're in jail. They're broken up. They've got no children. They've lost their children. They've lost their family. They've lost all their happiness. They're not satisfied with work. They're not satisfied with life. They're committing suicide. Look at their end. They may look happy right now, but look at their end. And never ever think that you are safe. Because Solomon, who prayed that prayer before, eventually fell and became a very wicked man. The mystery of a hard heart. Well, the only mystery is why people would want to keep a hard heart. And the dis-ease that God brings into your life could only prompt you to change. In Ezekiel 36, and I'm finishing, a new heart also will he give you, and a new spirit will he put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Yes, there's a mystery about the hard heart. But why would anybody want to keep a hard heart. Today. Everybody say today. Today. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today. Living for Jesus is a day-by-day thing. I don't like to say this, but really, we do mess up, make big mistakes. When we mess up, the time is to get things straight with God. Amen? I know I was the pastor of this church for 28 years, but I made a lot of mistakes before that, and probably a lot of mistakes while I was the pastor, because I'm human. I could say with Paul, my righteousness was as filthy rags. But I have a wonderful God, a forgiving God, a God that I can go to when he speaks to my heart and say, purge me, Lord, cleanse me, make me whole again spiritually. That's the joy of living a Christian life. But walk with Jesus and be ready to lay your life upon the line for him. Amen. Let us stand.